This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Played Eddie Money last hour. It's chosen by you. Two tickets to Paradise. And I trust most of the audience can multitask. But Super Bowl 47 is on NFL Network right now. So if you want to watch the Ravens' last Super Bowl victory, turn it to NFL Network if you have $1 million to afford cable nowadays. And turn the sound down and listen to us. I mean, you can do your thing. And remember, the big song was Ed Reed singing, "We got two tickets to paradise" on the parade day. So revisit that, but keep it tuned to the Fan, most importantly. And if you're a total rube, I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens in this game. And there might be some controversy at halftime at the Super Bowl. But we digress. Orioles tonight taking on the Twins. Go for the series win after winning last night, 7-4. We'll get into that and more with Ryan Ripken. Bottom of the hour, but the NFL draft. It's Vinny and Haney. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. Ryan Ripken, bottom of the hour. BBT tonight, 5:30 live from Pickles. From USA Today, the Ravens wire. He is on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. What's up, man?
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, we're Ravens country. We're less than 10 days away from the draft, which is exciting. Obviously, off-season workouts started up yesterday. Everybody's going crazy over the body transformation of Lamar Jackson. So always something to talk about.
So elaborate on that one, Kevin, if you would, for people that might not know what you're talking about. Remember, it was a couple years ago, he's too strong. And then last year, lost too much weight. Either way, you know, at least he's there. A year ago at this time, we didn't even know if he was showing up at all to one winning drive. But give everyone an update on why, you know, everybody's got the laser pointer out with Lamar's physique on April the 16th.
Yeah, he's bulked up over the last couple of seasons. I think it started up in 2020, 2021, where, you know, he came into the league his rookie year. You know, he was a skinny guy. I mean, he didn't have a ton of muscle on him. And I think a lot of people chalk that up to, hey, you know what? He doesn't have a lot of muscle, but he's super elusive, super speedy. And not that he wasn't speedy these last couple of years. Like, of course, when he has a ball in his hands, he's one of the most electric players in the league, if not the most electric players. But we saw over the course of maybe 2-3 years here, pretty big transformation in terms of him putting on some muscle, getting a little bit heavier, maybe to absorb some hits when he does decide to tuck and run. But we saw him show up yesterday, and some of that weight seemingly, you know, based off of what we saw, was dropped. And there's been a lot of conversation about, oh, well, him going back to that 2018, 2019 type of body. And then, you know, he's matured over the course of his career. So his mindset now, I know early in his career, especially his rookie year, he was taking a lot of unnecessary hits. And so bulking up again, maybe was a way to absorb some of those. But to me, I think that, you know, you have Derrick Henry now. And for Lamar, I think you can slim down a little bit and have Derrick Henry be that big bulldozer guy. Not that Lamar is ever like a big Derrick Henry type of player, but I think it's kind of like the yin and the yang that we were talking about when Henry first signed, where Henry can run you over, Lamar can juke you out of your shoes. Not that that changes when Lamar has muscle, But a lot of people are wondering just about what it means.
Now, getting to the Ravens draft coming up here in 9 days, first round, Ravens have the 30th pick in their needs. Offensive line is one of them, as we know, three vacancies. As you know, Kevin Allstriker, and I know John Harbaugh's talked about Daniel Falele, Minnesota, entering his third year now in the league, and we're going to try him at right tackle. Is that etched in stone? If he fails, air quotes, at right tackle, does that put him in line for maybe competing at a guard spot? If you're Daniel Falele, what are you thinking right now as the offseason strength program has begun, and we're, what, a little more than a month away from, or about a month away from OTAs here?
Yeah, well, if I'm Daniel Falele, I'm personally maybe hoping the Ravens don't draft a tackle in the first round, because that would essentially mean, with Ronnie Stanley back, if they draft the first round tackle, that guy is all but playing and starting his rookie year at that position. I think Baltimore cannot afford to draft a guy in the first round and then have them sit for a year. It's not, you know, their window. They need as many contributions as they can from as many high level players as possible. So first round pick, obviously, will be playing. So that would maybe push him inside of one of those guard competitions. I think Falele has shown flashes over the course of his career. Definitely hasn't been perfect. I think he's just shown some areas where improvements need to be made. But we've seen, particularly the last couple of seasons, the Ravens have seen some offensive linemen struggle, or they've come over from situations where they've struggled, and then they have a really good year. So I think Falele could be in line. I mean, Harbaugh said he's going to be competing for that right tackle job. There's not going to be a starter named the second the draft is over. But if I'm Falele, it's not necessarily make or break for him this season. Obviously, you mentioned he's in his third year, so the fourth year for him would be the last year of his contract. So maybe we're looking more towards next year for that. But this is a big opportunity for a lot of guys on the roster, including Falele. Baltimore likely is not going to have three open spots on their line next year. I maybe anticipate one or two. So there are a lot of opportunities for guys to take over starting jobs and then take a grip on those starting jobs, maybe for multiple seasons. And Falele is one of those guys.
Are you as optimistic about Voorhees' potential this year as Eric DaCosta seems to be right now?
I am. I think that if he's healthy, I think the caveat is if he is 100% healthy. I think, to me, Voorhees is somebody, and I kind of talked about it last draft, where I had a third, fourth-round grade on him. I mean, late day two, early day three, and the Ravens get him in the seventh. And, you know, obviously with the ACL tear, that's why he dropped. But he's someone that's just he was a steady player at USC, and I think could come in and really contribute for them. Now, we're going to see how he responds to the ACL tear. If he's not 100% Andrew Voorhees, then there's a different conversation to be had. But based off of the college tape and based off of just assuming that he would be that, you know, Andrew Voorhees we saw in college, I think that he could come in and win one of those starting jobs. I know a lot of people, maybe the way things are right now, have Ben Cleveland penciled into the other one. So maybe it could be a Voorhees-Cleveland guard rotation for Baltimore next season. But I like Voorhees a lot. I thought it was a great move from DaCosta to trade back into the draft, and I think it'll pay off for him.
Now, Kevin, as we sit here again on April the 16th, draft hasn't happened. There's another wave of free agency and all the other offseason stuff that's going to take place. Defensively for you, biggest area of concern today, outside linebacker, pass rusher, or depth in the secondary?
I think, to me, it's probably depth in the secondary. Now, it is close, because I think with Edge, Kyle Van Noy coming back changed a lot of things. I think if Van Noy wasn't back, obviously Edge would definitely be that number one need. But Van Noy, Owe, I think those two, and you're hoping Owe can take a leap. He's been solid, but you hope he can take a leap. But it's about relying on a lot of young players there. David Ajabo, Tavius Robinson, maybe Malik Ham gets an opportunity. In the secondary, though, you do have really good players. I mean, Marlon Humphrey is still there, Brandon Stevens. Then the safety is not necessarily a concern. Kyle Hamilton and Marcus Williams will hold that down. But it's more so about the depth. You know, losing Ronald Darby, their nickel position is great right now with Arthur Millett, Ardarius Washington, Pepe Williams. But that third corner spot is one that Baltimore really likes to fill with a player that plays a lot. They love three cornerback rotations on the outside. So to me, I think that they can afford to take a cornerback a little earlier. And this corner class, to me, I like this corner class a little better than I do the edge class. So I think if they were to take a corner, could be second, third, fourth round if they decide to take offensive line on the first, and then they maybe take an edge on day three, I think that's probably where I'd go defensively. Plus, with the corner room, we know Brandon Stevens is up for an extension, and he's a free agent after next season. Marlon Humphrey, his contract's going to be a conversation probably starting next offseason. So there is some future uncertainty on the outside, and securing a stud corner in maybe the earlier rounds would help Baltimore out, not only in the present, but probably in the future, too.
Kevin Allstreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We were talking earlier, Kevin, before we brought you on, about Rashad Bateman. Talk about big seasons. Probably an understatement for him heading into this year, but your confidence level and finally busting out, and why do we keep hearing that? You know, we saw, 19-plus yards of reception 2 years ago before he got hurt. Then he was healthy and was kind of a non-factor. Why is there seem to be, a miscommunication, if you will, between he and Lamar at this stage of their respective careers, which is now heading into its fourth year together?
Right, yeah. I think you talk about make or break, and this is it for Rashad Bateman. I know there's going to be a decision made on the fifth-year option coming up in a couple of weeks, so that's something to monitor. But for Bateman, I'm still a Bateman believer. I think that Bateman can step up and can be the number two receiver in this offense. Now, that's seemingly the direction the Ravens are going right now. The Deontay Hardy signing, even though that's more for special teams and the new kickoff rules, obviously, he's still going to count on the roster as a wide receiver. And for me, you look at the room right now before the draft, and it's Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, and Deontay Hardy. I think you add one more guy, and I think that's probably through the draft. So I think your top three going into next year is probably Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and then whatever rookie you draft, depending. I mean, if they decide to wait till the sixth or seventh round, obviously I think Aguilar takes that spot. But the reason that I think Lamar and Bateman have had some miscommunications is just because I think of the health situation of both guys. I mean, they haven't really had a ton of reps together. Bateman seemingly injured either early in the season or during off-season programs. His rookie year, he got injured during training camp, and he missed the first, I think it was six games of the year. And then Lamar, obviously, prior to last year, missed the last two regular seasons, the end of those regular seasons. So that was something. And then Bateman missed some time last year at the beginning. So it just feels like they've never had just a full off-season and season together. And that can kind of mess up some chemistry of not being on the field, not being able to understand. And the conversations, Bateman's going into year four right now. There needs to be more between the starting quarterback and a wide receiver. You took it the first round. I get it. But to me, I think that if they can just have a fully healthy offseason together, a fully healthy season together, we will start to see some of those miscommunications and some of the ways that they've missed each other over the past 3 years. I think some of those will begin to just naturally heal themselves. Bateman's a talented player. We see it on the tape, but I'm excited to see what he can do in 2024.
Kevin Allstreicher, tell everybody what's happening at the Ravens Wire USA Today.
Yeah, a lot of pre-draft content, as always. The draft is busy. We're sneaking up on it. So we're talking about which players the Ravens should take, what positions of need they have, and obviously still diving into a little bit of what players are out there on the free agent market and talking about if the Ravens should make any of those moves for the draft, too.
Kevin, appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Always appreciate you, Bob. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it, buddy. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off today. Nolan McGraw's other side of glass. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Busy, busy Monday night in the world of sports. Kind of, sort of. NBA playoffs start tonight. Well, the play-in tournament, the Wizard Walt Williams, he played in the postseason, former Maryland legend, joining us at 12:30. Ryan Ripkin's going to talk Orioles with us at 11:30. But, man, we got a lot to get to, and we will when we come back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Here on the Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Top of the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the ice. Last night down at D.C. Capitals. Let's just say a monumental game for them. And boy, did they ride to the end.
DeBrus looks to get it out. Did not clear. John Carlson off a give and go with Strome. Carlson fires. He scores!
That's Joe B on the call. John Carlson with a goal. And how about Lindgren with the shot out there? 16 saves. Caps beat Boston 2-0. Keep their playoff hopes alive. If they win tonight against Philly, they're in. If they lose and Detroit wins, they're out. Even if they lose and Detroit loses, it's an interesting scenario, I guess. But the bottom line is, when you're in, what do they say? Take it out of everyone else's hands. Monumental Sports on the call, as we said. So the Capitals, a team that Vinny left for dead before the season even started. Now he's wearing his Capitals hats to work. Could get into the postseason. Now the shelf like there, who knows? But the Caps, they win their end tonight. Take it on the Flyers, I believe it is. A little NHL fun, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Something we'll talk about with Walt Williams in another hour here is the NBA play-in tournament. Lakers tonight taking on New Orleans. The Pelicans, 7:30 tip. The Golden State Warriors, Sacramento Kings. Coming up at 10. And Nolan, I think I have this right. Winner of LA, New Orleans is the 7th seed. The loser would play the winner of Golden State, Sacramento. Loser of that game's out. So I know what everyone wants to see is like New Orleans playing Golden State, maybe. Or if New Orleans beats the Lakers playing Golden State for the 8th seed, which I think would be more of the dramatic thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a playoff series, or if we want to call this a playoff series, I don't know, but LeBron and Steph continuing their rivalry, so many great matchups throughout the years. Does a play-in game matchup entice you between those two? I think still probably moves the needle for the average fan.
Yeah, I mean, and this is going to be an interesting scenario to watch. I mean, these are two teams that are playing into the playoffs. I mean, they're not even officially part of it, but I got no problem with this, by the way, the play-in tournament. Gets more eyes on the prize. There's 30 teams in the NBA, 20 of them, you know, whatever.
Right.
It is what it is. I mean, you know, regular season be damned, but still. I'll be paying attention. I might have to go to the old man cave and get the two TVs working for this.
Still,
or maybe even
yeah.
Three, see what the Caps are doing.
Right. Still not a big fan of it, but after what Miami did last year, now there's no way they can get rid of it. Because you had a team that immediately, within a couple years of this being introduced, go from a play-in tournament game all the way to the finals.
Now, tomorrow, let's see, speaking of Miami, they're at Philly. And then Atlanta's at Chicago. So here's my prediction. And again, I'm usually wrong. Philly beats Miami because Embiid's back. Duh. Advantage Philly. And then Chicago will beat Atlanta because Atlanta's decimated. I mean, we root for Atlanta because they have Bruno Fernando. And we'll root for Miami because they have Haywood Heisman. But Miami's going to lose because they're going to beat Chicago. So Philly and Miami will both get in. How's that sound?
I think that's fair.
As the 7-8. Now, news breaking today, if you're a Bucks fan, you might be screwed because Giannis and Antetokounmpo might be out for the playoffs. So that whole Dame Lillard-Giannis duo never really came to fruition. They whacked Adrian Griffin early in the year, who was a teammate of Walt Williams, by the way, in the NBA. So we'll see how that goes. 5880-1057 Fan Whip Around WNBA Draft. Caitlin Clark, no surprise, goes number one to Indiana. Angel Reese, Maryland, Baltimore. And the LSU, obviously. Went to Chicago at pick number 7. And something we threw out there earlier, Nolan. as the NCAA tournament. I mean, I was watching kind of with great interest that UConn-Iowa game. I'm all in. And then LSU-Iowa, the rematch. I mean, Maryland was one and done. Does this level of interest for these players carry over to the WNBA? And I will say this, and I'm not lying. I don't lie on the air. Not even that catch I was talking about that I made at 1986 when I was 21 for the prime rib softball team, very reminiscent to the one that Cedric Mullins made last night. I don't lie about that stuff. Or do I? But either way, I've never watched a WNBA game in its entirety, and chances of me doing it are probably Blutarski, 0.0, with all due respect to the WNBA.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I just the whole Caitlin Clark phenomenon, I think, yeah, it was a pretty good chance that she's going to scoop all those people up and they're going to follow her to the NBA. I've seen, after last night, her jersey is already selling out for the team that drafted her. I mean, tickets for their games this summer are already having crazy price hikes and the resale market's already there. So I think for her alone, there's definitely going to be an uptick in viewership. The whole league as a whole, I don't know, but for her, for sure.
And then finally here on the whip on this Turn It Up Tuesday, this date, sports history, Orioles history in particular, April the 16th, 30 years ago today. Oh, get out of here. 1994, ballpark in Arlington. Harold Baines, little three-run triple there in the eighth. Rafael Palmeiro went yard against his former team. Ben McDonald, 7 2/3 to approve to 3-0 in the year. Ben would go 5-0 to start the year, was the AL Pitcher of the Month for April. 30 years ago, 6-4 Birds, strike year. Orioles were good that year. That year sucked. 81, Orioles were the best team in baseball, but we don't want to go that far back. 1996, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles beat the Red Sox 6-1. Rafael Palmeiro, 2-for-5 with two ribbies there. David Wells throws a complete game, 7-hitter, as they beat Roger Clemens. And then, Nolan, you were alive for this one, 2012. In Chicago, Orioles score 6 runs in the 10th. But if it wasn't for Nolan Reimold and Adam Jones going deep in the 9th, there wouldn't have been a 10th inning. And then Matt Wieters hit a grand slam as the Orioles stunned the White Sox 10-4. That was 12 years ago. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Corn Day Birds. They win last night, 7-4. They won 2 in a row. Cedric Mullins' brilliance in the outfield kind of set the tone for the rest of the game, or they would have been down early. Are there concerns, however, with this Orioles starting rotation? Ryan Ripken next here on The Fan.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Turn It Up Tuesday. A little Jimmy for you, Jimi Hendrix. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off today. Nolan's on the other side of the glass. Orioles taking on the Twins tonight. Game 2 of this 3-game set. 6:35 first pitch. Trying to win the series tonight behind Grayson Rodriguez. Orioles win last night 7-4. Here to talk about that and what we've seen so far from the Orioles through 16 games of the season in which they won 10 of the 16. Our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. He's on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Let's welcome in Ryan Ripken. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, happy Turning Up Tuesday, Bob. How are we feeling?
I'm doing all right, man. It's Turning Up Tuesday. I'm talking to you. Got a little Jimi Hendrix in the air. I'm feeling great. But let's get to that Cedric Mullins catch. And don't want to get into hyperbole too much. And I'm trying to think of Camden Yards catches. And the one that always stands out to me is the one Mike Devereaux made against Toronto back in 92 in the right center field, right over the bullpen. Kelly Gruber maybe hit the ball, but a brilliant thing. What we saw last night cannot be discounted. When you talk about, on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess, Ryan Ripken, that rates as a what on your scale?
Oh, it's no doubt an 11 out of 10. You know, I just think, you know, but the thing is, maybe I'll put it this way, nothing surprises me with Cedric. And maybe it's just because I spent a lot of time with him. I've seen him play. I've seen his preparation. So when he goes out and makes ridiculous plays, it's like, oh, that's just Ced being Ced again.
you know. But clearly, full extension, leaving his feet. People are saying, you know, it's a Superman type of dive. Look, I mean, it obviously big play, and in this case, you know, gets you off on the right track, at least for your pitcher, especially for Urban, right? Where you want to try to get going, new series, new start. You want to make sure you get off to a good start. I'll tell you what, I've said this before. If you ask any of the pitchers on the team, and probably a lot of pitchers throughout Major League Baseball, not just the Orioles, who do you want in center field? On the Orioles, it's absolutely Cedric Mullins, and I wouldn't be surprised if most other pitchers around baseball are saying the exact same thing.
Now, Ryan, with a guy like Cedric Mullins, former team MVP, former All-Star, I mean, we know the track record of success has been there as a young veteran, but when you have all of these young players coming up through the ranks and waiting for their turn, when the chatter is, well, trade Mullins, get rid of him, do they hear that sort of thing? I'm not saying they listen to sports talk or read the papers, but I'm assuming someone's got to be relaying the, hey, man, people want you out of here sort of dialogue.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's definitely a conversation that, you know, you try to block out all the noise, right? But let's just be honest, you know, let's not be naive here. You can try to block it out as much as possible, but you're still going to hear it. But the biggest thing that you can do in this situation as any player, and it is cliche, it's you can only control what you can control. But then the second you start to let other people dictate what can or can't happen is when you start to find yourself in a hole. You know, and I think a lot of guys are learning more and more about that as we go, to be honest. But, you know, specifically for the Orioles, I mean, yeah, there's, I mean, Bob, isn't it constant conversations that we hear about what's the long-term plans, who's staying, who's going, and it feels like it's almost, now it's not just year by year, it feels like it's, you know, week by week because of what the pressure and how players are playing in the minor leagues. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, though, that's just the reality. If you can't focus on your job, you know, that's a problem in itself. So that's the first and foremost. I mean, they hear it, but, you know, what can you do? You have one objective. Let's go out there and try to be the best ball player you can be.
Ryan, we talk about, you know, underappreciated players on the team, and we've talked about Jordan Westberg before, three more knocks yesterday, a couple of ribbies, OPS over 9 right now. But what about Ryan O'Hearn? Talk about what he brings to the equation here. Kind of gets lost in the shuffle, air quotes, replaceable piece, but how important is he going to be to the Orioles for the next 5 to 6 months here?
Well, I mean, I think that everyone, when they're saying, oh, hey, we're just going to easily replace Ryan O'Hearn, he had a fluke year. I mean, look, I do not think anything that Ryan O'Hearn did last year was a fluke, you know, and I think that's where people are just waiting for him to come down to reality. Well, maybe the reality is that Ryan O'Hearn is just a dang good baseball player who is an asset to you, especially facing right-handed pitching, you know, so And we talked about this. Sometimes you just need a change of scenery. And for Ryan O'Hearn, he got to the big leagues not because he wasn't talented. It was because he earned the right to be there. Yeah, Kansas City was having some rough times over there. And then he gets to Baltimore, figures some things out. And what you're seeing right now is Ryan O'Hearn's, you know, one of the best hitters on the team right now on a team that's already loaded with a lot of great hitters. So I think Ryan O'Hearn is going to be vital to this team. He's not being asked, Bob, to go in there, hey, you're going to just face righties and hit 7. No, they're like, we want you up in that order because we know you can do damage, and damage he's done quite a lot to opposing pitchers. Ryan O'Hearn's going to be a big part of this team, no doubt about it, and I hope the Oriole fans realize that this is what's happening right now. Enjoy this story because this is really cool to see him come to a place and join a contender where it just feels like it was like the perfect match for both the player and the team.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here. 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Turn it up Tuesday. Orioles and Twins game 2 coming up at 6:35 tonight. Grayson Rodriguez on the hill. Cole Irvin, impressions of him. Any concerns right now, Ryan Ripken, with the Orioles starting rotation 3 turns through it?
I really don't. I'm not the one to press any panic buttons on any of that, to be honest. You know, and with Milwaukee in that series, look, Milwaukee played well. I mean, maybe there could have been something happening in that first game with, you know, some extracurriculars and tipping pitches or whatnot. But overall, I think the Orioles starting staff has done great. You know, and the reality is not all of your starters are going to go out there and pitch, you know, at that high level each and every time. And also, I think that everyone looks at, because the Orioles have Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, that you think that everyone on your staff is Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. That's not the case, but you do have really good pitchers. I'm just glad that they're continuing to find ways. And the biggest thing that people were reminded, like with Cole Irvin and Tyler Wells, like they've been asked to kind of switch roles a lot, you know, and I think that they don't know what their future holds, but they are comfortable doing whatever the team wants of them. And then obviously, if you're an Orioles fan, you keep looking at the John Means and Kyle Bradish situation. Means is definitely closer than Bradish. Bradish, I think you have to hold your breath for the rest of the season. But it's a good problem to have. And guess what? If while the Orioles are quote-unquote trying to figure it out, they're still figuring it out, winning quite a lot of ball games.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague. It's Baltimore baseball tonight. Every night, weeknight, when the Orioles are playing tonight against Minnesota. Ryan, what's going on with your Turn It Up Tuesday today?
Should I go to the yard tonight, Bob? Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should go check out the guys down there. Maybe got something else planned special on the Ryan Ripken show, a guest that Oriole fans might like to hear from. So stay tuned for that, Bob.
All right, Ryan, appreciate it as always. If we don't see you tonight, we'll talk to you next Tuesday and definitely see you in a week or so.
Appreciate you. Have a great day.
You got it, bud. Here's Ryan Ripken, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Sad news, baseball, Orioles related. Whitey Herzog, World Series winning manager for the St. Louis Cardinals and had Kansas City in the playoffs multiple times. He has passed away at the age of 92. Whitey Herzog played for the Orioles as an outfielder in his career. And Ken Holtzman passed away yesterday at the age of 78, was part of that Dynasty A's team in the early to mid-70s, actually pitched for the Orioles for half a season, didn't like it here, got traded to the Yankees, and a deal that brought Baltimore, Rick Dempsey, Tippi Martinez, Scott McGregor, Rudy May, among others, Demper, McGregor, and Tippi, parts of some pretty good Oriole teams, two of which went to the World Series, one championship in 1983. So rest in peace, Ken Holtzman and Whitey Herzog.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
News for the Nest coming up here in a few minutes. Talk about the Ravens. Strength and conditioning program happening. Media availability tomorrow. Select players. And we heard from Kevin Ostreicher earlier in the hour. Lamar Jackson is there. Derrick Henry is there. Will they be at the podium at some point tomorrow? It'd be nice to hear from both. Lamar especially. Well, we haven't heard from Lamar Jackson, Nolan, since what? Playoff loss to Kansas City? Is that kind of last time over 2 months ago here?
Yeah, he keeps it a tight ship there.
Yeah, so maybe we'll hear from him. Derrick Henry had his introductory press conference few weeks back, but we're getting close to the draft, 9 days away. Then you got your rookie mini camp, first weekend of May, which is Derby weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Then you got the OTAs coming at you fast and furious, then mandatory mini camp. And then that's kind of all she wrote until training camp 2024 happens. The NFL's the machine that just keeps churning out things, and we'll churn out some Ravens stuff for you coming up here at the top of the hour. If you'd rather go cornerback or offensive tackle or guard at 30, should they trade up, trade back? They've got 9 picks to work with. We know Eric DaCosta likes that draft equity. Might be reluctant to get rid of picks, but you never know. It all depends on how the board will shake out for them. Orioles tonight taking on the Twins. Game 2 of this 3-game set. They win the opener 7-4. Any problems with the starting pitching? Ryan Ripken, Nolan's not ready to press panic buttons, but I'm staring at mine. I haven't touched it yet, but I'm looking at it. I know where it is. Let's just put it that way.
Is there a cover over the button?
Nah.
Have you lifted the cover?
It's unlocked.
Exposed button.
I'm not in DEFCON 1 yet, but we're at a good 4. We'll see how the next couple of weeks play out here. They have 2 certainties in Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. I'm relatively confident in Dean Kramer. Wells has proven to be effective. Cole Irvin did, at least in regards to eating innings in Oakland. But I don't know. Right now, they take the hill. It's kind of a fingers crossed scenario. for both.
Right. Regular season problems for sure. Obviously, you know, you want the best pitching rotation, win as many games as possible. When you get to the postseason, and we're assuming here that the Orioles will be playing playoff baseball.
Yes.
You don't need five starters for the playoffs. So let's get to the playoffs. You've got your, you stay healthy first and foremost, but you don't need a five-man rotation for the playoffs. Just need to be good enough to get there.
I think the through 16 games, the starters earned run average has ballooned to over four. So, I mean, you take that for what it is. What about Cade Povich getting a call up, who's been doing really well down on the farm? Why not?
We actually had a texter that asked that same question.
Sure.
Or McDermott, for that matter.
Are we, yes. Bye. But if reinforcements can come from within, great. But they do have the wherewithal with prospects to make trades. Let's be honest. Whether you get attached to these prospects or not, they're not all going to play for the Orioles. So why not do a little flippage here and let's get that World Series trophy for the first time in Nolan's life.
Yes.
And for the first time in, seems like, five lifetimes ago for the old Bobster here.
All I want is one. I don't need a dynasty. Just give me one. Okay. Whatever happens after, that's great.
All right. I hear what you're saying. We got time for a fun house?
We'll do a quick one.
Let's do it.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This one here from Mike says, in regards to the Ravens draft, I think it's pretty simple. The Ravens will take best player available, but narrow that down to O-line and corner. Whoever is the best available amongst those two positions, that's who they'll take at 30. Just keep it simple, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess if Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's been mocked to the Ravens, is there at 30, and the Ravens feel as though the depth is there to go offensive lineman later in the draft, that might not be a bad assumption here.
Or if you got multiple guys that you could take at 30, they shuffle back a little bit.
Perhaps.
You got to have a trade partner, but yeah, they'll maybe look to do that.
I mean, do they, you know, use one of them extra, what is it, a fourth-round pick, I believe they have, to move up, do a little damage there? If they see someone sitting at 28, perhaps?
I think moving up would really shock me.
No, not like the Jeffersons here. No moving on up. Yeah, they have 2/4 and 2/7. Just for trade reference purposes here.
Another one here says Lamar changing his physique means next to nothing. Unless that's going to make him a better deep ball passer, then we can talk.
Yeah, I would like him to change his accuracy level when he's got a guy streaking down the field at 40 yards. That sort of thing. Other than that, who cares? And if he comes in looking like he's gained 50 pounds of beer muscle, then there's a problemo here. But Lamar's the least of my Ravens' worries.
Yeah, right. We don't need an Eddie Lacy situation.
No. Lamar's the reason the Ravens are going to contend as long as he's on the field. But yes, deep ball accuracy. Let's be a little more prolific throwing the ball down the field here.
Last one here from Chris says, currently there are 6 Orioles players that have as many or more home runs than Hayes has hits right now. How much longer can you really give him opportunities?
Are you saying he gets the old Obaldo pothole from 10 years ago? Remember that one where he got rocked and all of a sudden he found the one pothole in the parking lot of Camden Yards? I mean, that's been the running joke for many, many years, but he's built up some equity, I would think. He's not starting tonight. Paddock, right-hander on the hill for the Twins. And they're going to go. Anthony Santander rode the bench last night. He'll be back in the lineup. Austin Hayes is going to have to bang his way into the lineup. It's as simple as that. But to dismiss him as some afterthought scrub who's had a Chris Davis-like decline, I don't think is fair. Probably inaccurate, too.
Especially when he can play that good defensively.
Yeah, it doesn't look like his defense has suffered at this point, but he needs a blooper, a bleeder. He needs something to happen positively for him offensively. And I'm, obviously, I'm speaking common sense stop here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, news from the Nest. Talk about what's happening out there at One Winning Drive. The players are there. A lot of them are, anyway, for the strength and conditioning. Count that Turn It Up Tuesday money, 12:15 with Buy or Sell. Talk about the sports subjects of the day. And we'll preview the play-in tournament of the NBA with the Wizard Walt Williams. He's played in a few postseason games. And from what I understand, it might be the Wiz's birthday, too. So we'll talk to Maryland legend Walt Williams at 12:30.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.